Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
This is Amy Loboda, host of FAA's Managing Safety, with you here at the Red Bull Air Race World Championship in San Diego, California. The Red Bull Air Race World Championship is an international series of races with participation of at least 10 pilots at each race. Here today we have 15 pilots participating. The object is to navigate an aerial racetrack featuring airfield pylons in the fastest possible time, incurring as few penalties as possible. Pilots can win the world championship points at each race, and the one with the most points after the last race of the season becomes the Red Bull Air Race World Champion. But how do they do this safely? The Red Bull Air Race pilots use specific airplanes for the purposes of the race. They have an Edge 540 or the new MX-S-R. Both airplanes use a Lycoming 540, highly modified. There is specific survival equipment on board, which is absolutely necessary. The race today is taking place in San Diego Bay. The pilots are just a few feet off the water, even as they go through the gates. All pilots wear special helmets, some with a visor, fireproof resistant flight suits, flying gloves, flying boots, and parachutes. The canopy can be jettisoned for a bailout if needed. Over water, they also wear a water survival vest that can be activated to inflate if they need to. Additionally, they've got an oxygen bottle and an oxygen mask, which they can use in case of a ditching situation. There are also helicopters, speedboats with rescue divers, and a flight surgeon on standby during every flying session of a Red Bull Air Race. The race pilots undergo additional water survival training, including underwater rollover training. Over the course of training days and qualifying days, and of course the final race day, I've had the opportunity to speak with a pilot, the race director, and one of the helicopter pilots with the Red Bull Air Race Championship to talk a little bit more about how they have an astonishing, perfect safety record. I'm here today with U.S. Navy Captain Jim DiMatteo, who is the first American race director in the history of the Red Bull Air Race World Championship. It's said that you are the race director who brought the Red Bull Air Race World Championship to the North Island Naval Airfield in 2008. Is that right?
Yes, I would say I was part of the team that brought them there. We have as you can imagine, a lot of things to work through to bring an event like the Red Bull Air Races on board a naval air station. So it took a lot of effort from a lot of different people. But since I wear both hats as both a naval aviator and stationed at the headquarters of Naval Aviation on North Island and work for the Red Bull Air Races, it was the person probably spearheading the effort. But again, a lot of people were involved getting it on board, but we ultimately achieved their goal, and it worked out really well.
Well, 2009 was located at Brown Field because of some runway closures at North Island, I understand. How did that affect the logistics of the two races?
They varied a little bit, not really that much from the perspective of the fan or the TV product, because ultimately what they see is basically the aircraft entering the racetrack, doing the race, and then exiting the racetrack, and not really too concerned about where it came from, whether it was from a mile away at North Island or 10 miles away at Brown Airfield. So from that perspective, I don't think the fan or the TV audience was impacted too much. It was more from a logistical perspective about how we brought them up to San Diego Bay and had to hold them and then kind of move them around and tried to keep the timing as tight as possible. So it's kind of more internal issues than anything external that anybody could see. But we're able to do it okay, and either way works fine for me. We have had the race in San Diego now 3 years. This past weekend in 2009 was our third year. The first year we did it at Brownfield. The second year we did it at Naval Station North Island, and then this year we again did it down to Brownfield, as you mentioned, because there was some a runway closure at Navy North Island, and we just couldn't fit in the operational requirements of the Red Bull Air races without impacting the Naval Air Station, and so we opted, and the Navy was glad that we went down to Brownfield.
You had some issues with weather this year. Did having to stage people from Brownfield affect that a little bit too?
Yes, that did. That was impacted, as you can imagine. Our requirements are to stay BMC in VFR conditions all the time, and that transit to and from Brownfield started to pose a little bit of a challenge when the marine layer was starting to drop a little bit. So we actually, on Friday, one of our training days, was not able to fly because of the weather, where maybe if we were at North Island, we might have been able to fly because it didn't have to transit that that corridor on the bay where some of the weather was dropping in. But we were able to manage it, and it was always with the safety in the forefront. So we went ahead and canceled the training session on Friday due to weather.
Safety is exactly what your job is all about, and that's what I wanted to talk to you a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about this perfect safety record that the Red Bull Air Race World Championships has been able to maintain for several years now. It seems like there's a whole culture of safety within the organization.
There really is, and knock on wood, we just finished our 40th race, and there's never been an incident or accident involving the aircraft. And I do not believe that is by accident, pardon the pun, but I think that is a result of a very robust and professional safety approach from the Red Bull Air Races. As a Navy fighter pilot, obviously part of my training, if you will, and my experience in 25 years of flying Navy fighter jets has been the safety culture and climate that naval aviation and operating off aircraft carriers brings in a very challenging and difficultly dangerous flying operations that we do off aircraft carriers. And I came into the Red Bull Air Races wondering what this general aviation safety program would be. And to be quite honest, I was very, very, very impressed. It is, albeit it's a company that is handling this, they approach it as diligently and as professionally, even more so than my experience in naval aviation, which is saying a lot because we take it very serious in naval aviation as well. But the approach that Red Bull Air Race has on safety of its not only its pilots and the personnel that work on the aircraft, but also just the culture, safety culture, and the safety climate regarding the entire operation, not just the aviation side, including all just any time somebody is walking around the tower when there's construction going on, or because you got to realize we build everything up and then do our race and then tear everything down. And, you know, even outside the aviation arm, in the construction arm, or walking around, it's got just a very, very professional and safety conscious climate and culture, and something that I know they work very, very hard at. And I believe the 40-0 record is a testimony to its professionalism and respect for the dangers that come with aviation.
I noticed that as well when I was signing the waiver, that before I was able to walk around in the pit, that they were very, very detailed about how you should act. And this was just for the media. I love that they said no high heels. I love that they said don't walk backwards. All these things that cameramen and journalists might not be thinking about. They really took the time to take me aside. Everybody got a personal briefing. It was very professionally done.
Yes, and I think it's an overall approach that says, you know, let's not wait until something happens and then implement rules. Let's learn off of other people's programs, if you will, and implement what other people have done before us. And I don't mean necessarily other air race type events or races, because there really hasn't been those as much as just other major events, from Formula One to NASCAR to concerts to, you know, all the different scenarios that you can draw that just have a large group of people coming around things that move, and trying to make sure that their safety as a fan base is taken care of, or as media personnel, or even as workers that work around the aircraft or the construction of the structures that we have. I'm just very proud to say that it's a very conscious, aware, and very, you know, on the forefront of every conversation and on every brief and debrief is the safety and the care and wellness of everybody. So I don't think it's just by happenstance that we have such a good and positive safety record.
This is Amy Loboda with Captain Jim DiMatteo, race director of the Red Bull Air Race World Championship. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with FAA Production Studios Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Loboda and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back. This is Amy Loboda, host of Managing Safety, with U.S. Navy Captain Jim DiMatteo, who is the race director for the Red Bull Air Race World Championship that was just held in San Diego, California. It's the third time that San Diego's been chosen as a location for the Red Bull Air Race World Championship. And you have something to do with choosing those locations. Is that correct, Jim?
And now, yes, I do. In my current role as the race director, one of the collateral jobs, I guess, is going around to different cities, different locations, and doing feasibility studies as it relates to the aviation side of the event, of the race. As you can imagine, the race box changes at every city or every location we go to. The internal to the United States, obviously we work with the FAA, but I go to other countries' locations too, and it's interesting to deal with their FAA regulatory type group. Some are like ours and some are not like ours here in the U.S. So it's fun, it's exciting, it's challenging, and bottom line is we're trying to make sure that we put this from an aviation perspective in a location that we can race our aircraft safely and make sure that the pilots are safe and make sure that the fans are safe. And at the same time, you know, I'm coming more from the aviator's perspective and the race perspective, but we have a whole separate arm of the company that is event management and communications and PR and media, and we're looking for those iconic backdrops that you just saw in San Diego. So the challenge, if you will, is to fit this race box and track in an area and keep it safe for the pilots, keep it safe for the fans, but also include in the backdrop this iconic setting. And that's our challenge, and I think we've done pretty well so far, and it's fun and it's exciting to go check out other cities.
I bet it is. Tell me a little bit about the parameters that you're dealing with when you're looking from a safety standpoint for that perfect place.
Again, it kind of depends which country you go to. We, as a company, Red Bull Air Race, take a very conservative approach and utilize a 500-foot setback requirement. So even if a country would allow less of a setback for the fans from the flight path of the aircraft, the minimum requirement we use is this 500 feet. It's what the FAA here in the U.S. Also requires, so we pair up well with the FAA rules, and we basically keep that as a minimum safety distance from anything that that the aircraft could pass. And the process that we use is we pick a, initially just a feasibility study, pick an area of a town or a location that looks like it's something that we might be able to utilize, put together a very preliminary proposal of what it might be, what the box might look like and the track might look like. We do have the flexibility to change the track, and what I mean by that is there could be elements of geographic elements. Maybe there's something pointing out like a pier or a dock or something like that if it's on water, a little area where we want fans to be, and we can make the course or the track change so that we don't have that vector towards that crowd on that very sensitive spot. So we do have the luxury of changing the track to adapt to our safety requirements. But ultimately, we always have to maintain at least a 500-foot setback from the crowd, given the classification of the aircraft and the speed, et cetera. And then when we finish, we bring that to the FAA here in the United States. If we're racing in the U.S., we bring that to the FAA, and then the head of the FAA Air Show Division does a very in-depth analysis of the track, and they make sure that the course not only reaches that 500-foot minimum setback distance, but also is just smart the way we design it, i.e., if there is a pier or something sticking out, let's not have the flight path of the aircraft going right at that pier if we can change that at all. Or in a case like San Diego, there were some piers in the water that we did not utilize. We just put guards, security personnel, and wouldn't allow people on the docks. So
sure.
All of that is taken into account, and the end is to have a safe product and still have something that the fans can enjoy.
Absolutely, and they do. There were more than 50,000 spectators in San Diego. One of the things that makes this so exciting is the speed and the closeness to the racers. Now, you police the racers from the control tower during the race, and one of the things that you are tasked with is the difficult decision of handing out penalties and even disqualifications. That's got to be a tough job. You've got to make a split-second decision there.
It is, but it's much, at the end, the pilots are very professional. They realize that, all my decisions that I've, just this last time disqualified a guy for too many Gs, and nobody ever comes back and is disrespectful to my challenges, because they all understand that they're pushing as hard as they can because they're a racer and they're competitive and they're an athlete that's trying to go as quickly as you can through the course. And it's my job, if something has exceeded or if I feel that there is a safety parameter that has been breached, that I have to get them out. And it's ultimately for their own safety as well as the safety of the fans. And the pilots are all incredibly professional, and so they've never really given me a hard time about that. They understand it. They don't necessarily are happy about it, but they know that it's not my fault. It's just, hey, we're doing an analysis of safety on a split-second decision, and I'll make a call. And it's very – during the Navy, I was what we call a landing signal officer, which is a pilot that helps other pilots land on an aircraft carrier. And it's the same type of situation. You have an instantaneous kind of reaction of, oh, is he coming? Is he going to make it? Is he safe? Nope, let's get him out of here and let's try again. And the similarities between waving a couple aircraft on board the back of the ship at night and being a race director at an air race are very similar. And both are met with professional pilots, and so that makes my job a lot easier.
Then it must have been very, very tough to watch when one of your racers hit a bird in this last race. What was your reaction to that?
To be honest, we didn't see that right out of the gate. We didn't notice that. The pilot didn't really even know that he hit a bird. He said he felt something and that didn't really know what it was. I didn't see any real change in flight path or the capability of the aircraft. It wasn't until he had popped up off the track that, you know, we had, much like a lot of bird strikes, where it didn't really change the performance of the aircraft, and it didn't impact him in the way that damaged the aircraft to where he didn't have controllability of it. And so he wasn't really quite sure what happened until he popped up off the track, and then when he told me, that's when I knew, and that's when I just said, hey, are you okay? Do a controllability check. Do you need to put it down somewhere else, or are you okay? And he said he was fine, and did the prudent thing like any of us would do after a bird strike. But we actually didn't notice it during the actual race. Now, you know, everything's photographed, and so we see it in pictures afterwards, but we didn't notice it during the time.
The pictures were pretty dramatic. There's no question about that. But the fact that the pilot did exactly what he was supposed to do and flew the airplane first is a testament, as you said, to his professionalism and the professionalism of all of you during the race. No question about it. And he still managed to place.
He did, absolutely. He did, and that was, I think, you know, you see the dramatic pictures and you think, wow, this looks crazy. But you also realize that, you know, hey, it's an airplane. It had a bird strike and it kept flying, and it did more cosmetic damage than it did any structural damage. And so he was able to continue to fly, and he said he didn't really feel anything control-wise in the airplane until after he popped off and then looked and said, oh, okay, now I know what happened. But he extremely good pilot, and we briefed just like in any type of other edge-of-the-envelope type flying. When something doesn't go right and the aircraft's not responding the way that you think it should, then you level your wings, you pull up, you slow down, and you figure out why. So we kind of found that into everybody's head, and those guys being, you know, great pilots, that's their natural reaction. We have a board or a pull-out plan always. We have really good television cameras and helicopters, so with television cameras on them, so we can tell right away what kind of damage, if there's any, at an aircraft. We obviously, over the water and low, birds can cause us concern. And if you're at the race, you'll see the helicopters flipping around, taking pictures. But at the same time that he's taking pictures, he's really also what we call bird chasing, just, you know, swishing any birds that happen to be around out of the racetrack. So it's a multifunctional task there. It's not just taking pictures of the crowds. So we do what we can. We have people and judges and spotters and air gators that also look for bird activity that might cause a problem. And but every once in a while, you're going to get that that bird strike. So Honest did a good job of reacting properly, and it wasn't as big of an issue as it was from a photo perspective.
Actually, it was really nice to see an airplane take a bird strike, keep flying over water, and you know, get people away from this feeling that every bird strike is a catastrophe, because they aren't. You're absolutely right. Jim, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today about your position with the Red Bull Air Race World Championships. And good luck to you in the course of the season. You've still got four more races to go in 2009. We wish you the very, very best.
Thank you.
This is Amy Loboda, your host, with Managing Safety from FAA Production Studios.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.